If you're a guest with us today, we're doing a series called God's Ways in a subset of a larger annual theme that is entitled Love Does Absolutely. We know that from Galatians chapter 5, it says in the scriptures that nothing else matters, nothing else counts except faith expressing itself in love. That's what matters. But sometimes even that phrase love, or that word love, gets confused. That we think love means accepting everything, allowing everything. There are buzzwords today, tolerance and things like that, that we think we have to just allow everything because just as you got to love. And how many know that's not true? That love has absolutes. That when I raised my children, they didn't just get to do whatever they wanted because I love them and I want them just to enjoy. No, I love them with some hard times sometimes. I love them with some pain sometimes. I love them because I wanted them to grow up to be the people that I could be proud of and that would serve God with all their heart. So with love does, there are some absolutes. And so we're working this year through a lot of those absolutes, which brings us down to some of the basics of our faith. This particular series, we've been talking about that and how God guides us through our life. And we've talked about how God pursues us. He's the one who comes after us first. It's always God's initiative. Last week we talked about our response to that, our repentance, how we come before Him and we constantly need to make that change as we are tempted to go away from God and bring us back. Today I want to talk to you about our pursuit of God. Our pursuit of God. To hunger, to thirst, to seek God with all of our heart. The scripture says this: as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Have you ever had an experience, or do you experience your hunger for God like that? The deer been searching for water, can't find any. Maybe has been running from predators and is parched. And finally spots the stream of water. And he's panting. And he's just so eager, feeling as if he's getting weak. But he finds the water. And there finds refreshing. The scripture is speaking of that kind of desire. Let me read you a couple of more verses about this hunger for God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, seek the Lord your God. You will find him if you look for him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Would you be able to describe your seeking for God as with all of your heart and all of your soul? Another scripture, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and you will find me. Isn't it great to find God? Would you like to find God? Some of us are like, yeah, I'd like to find God. Others are like, I don't know if I want to find him. I want him to talk to me, but I'm not sure what he's going to say. You will seek him, or when you seek him, you will find him when you seek him with all of your heart. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. One last scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Anybody want reward from God? I do. Is it worth the seeking? It ought to be. To seek God. One last scripture. Psalm 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. That's our question today. That's our question. The Lord looks down from heaven to see if there are any who understand, any who seek him. I pray that after today, if you are seeking God, that you will deepen that search. It will intensify. If you've been lax in seeking God, that you will be motivated to take your seeking to a whole new level. I want to pause right now and just bow our heads and pray and ask God to take us this next 20 minutes or so and fill us with his presence. God, in Jesus' name, we need you today. We realize that our desire to seek you originates with you. Lord, help us because we're frail. We're tempted. We're distracted. Help us, Lord, in our weakness. But God, I pray that you would fill us with a fervency, with a passion, with an eagerness, an earnestness to seek you. You are God. There is no other. Lord, that statement alone ought to motivate us that if there is a God like that, I want to know him. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Stir us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pursuing God starts with God. Pursuing God starts with God. He makes the first call. Anybody screen their calls? Come on, be honest. I do. I see a call. Now, I don't screen from you guys. Depends on what I'm into at the moment. And I know I'll get back to you. But I've got all my numbers, all my names, and everybody that I expect a call from at some point, their name is in, so their names pop up. If I just see a number, I'm not picking it up. I don't know you. When God calls, we ought to pick up. Amen? And God is always making the first call. You came to Christ because God called. You responded to God because God called. The scripture says you can't even respond to him unless he draws you first. The fact that you're here today wasn't because at some point in your life you just had this brilliant idea. I think I might want to know God. God put that there. He's always pursuing, always seeking, always drawing you in. A.W. Tozer, in his great book, The Pursuit of God, says this: the impulse to pursue God originates with God. But the outworking of that impulse is our following hard after him. That's what we're talking about today. The impulse to want God starts with God. He put that there. But now the response step, our pursuing him, comes from us. He's already flipped our switch. We already got the lights turned on. Now what will we do with that? Will we follow hard after him, or we do our best to run away from his presence? Stopping at being forgiven is a really self-centered relationship. It's very self, and a lot of us fall into that trap. Oh God, thank you for forgiving me. I feel so good now. I feel so released now. Bye. Thanks for the gift. Now I'm going to go still do my thing. Very self-centered when we just get a self-centered gospel in our mind that it's what God can do for me. Basically, that's just fire insurance. We want to keep out of hell and we want to get to heaven. God, just keep me safe, keep me provided for, keep me comfortable, keep me profitable, keep me fruitful, keep me purposeful, keep me happy, and I'm in. How many know that's not realistic? That's not life. And God purposes that that's not life because he knows that that produces spoiled brats. And there are a lot of people in Christianity that are spoiled brats because we want from God, want from God, want from God. And until God, or on the occasion when God actually acts like a father and has to discipline us, then we're out of there. And that's because we've settled into this me first oriented gospel. Pursuing God starts with God, but it's our response to him that's important. Think about someone you'd really like to meet. Is there anybody in your life that you'd really like to meet? Maybe it's a famous person, a celebrity, or somebody, you know, just somebody. Like, anybody? Who'd you like to meet and be friends with? Anthony Hopkins. Great actor. Yay? Yeah? That's kind of weird. I'm a Silence of the Lambs and all that. Like, it's weird. There's a recovery group I've heard about that you can... Okay, so but a famous actor, that's somebody intrigues you. You'd like to get to know him. Okay, somebody else. Who'd you like to meet and get to know? Who's that? Steph Curry, man after my own heart. Right there. Okay, famous athlete. There are people, right? What would you do to get to know these people? Would you go out of your way? If Anthony Hopkins was in Santa Cruz and said, would you come meet me? Would you go? You're there. You're there. Don, see ya. I got a date. Steph Curry's in town, Lukey, and says, I want to meet you, have lunch with you. Cut in school for that? Yeah. Parents aren't in the room, we're good to go. What I'm trying to get at is that we'll do things to build a relationship or to meet people that we admire, that we have, you know, an attraction to, that we that are special to us. But folks, what about the one who created those people? There is a God who's above all, who's through all, who by a word created everything there is, who is above the universes, the galaxies, who is beneath in the cell structure. He's everywhere. He's always. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's kind. And he wants to know us. What is it with us then that we kind of go, oh, I'm kind of tired. Sorry, God, I'm going to go to bed now. Too late for Bible study. And we just like, what? When many other people in the world, we jump at the chance to get to know them and build a relationship with them if they had even a slight inkling toward us. But God says he runs to us. He pursues us. And yet oftentimes we treat him like he's just kind of, eh. I love this scripture out of Psalm 78:34. It's actually kind of funny to me because it's so us. It says, whenever God slew them, they would seek him. Then eagerly turn to him again. Doesn't that sound like us? Whenever we're in trouble, we seek him. And this scripture was God's discipline. It said, and whenever God slew them, they said, okay, we'll follow you now. Don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. Now I'm in when we're threatened or when we're hurting or when we're frustrated or when we're afraid. Does that resonate with anybody? Don't you seek God more intensely when you're in trouble? Right? God's pursuit, our pursuit with after God starts with God. But then we got to pursue. That's our part. We need to pursue the wanting, and sometimes the wanting to want to. I love that the phrase spins in my mind all the time. God, I want to serve you, but give me the want to. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we slip into, I just don't want to. What? But I get there too. Other things distract. Other things become more attractive. Other things become more urgent. God, I pray, give me the want to serve you. I remember many years ago, I recounted this story on a couple of occasions. My son and I were at Yankee Stadium. He was younger, maybe 10 years old, and the crowd was growing, and all the people were down around the edges of the field getting autographs and so on, and we were excited. And I said, Eric, go down and get some autographs. Take your ball and your pen. And he went down there, and he was excited, and I was excited, and I stood back and was watching. And in the midst of all that crowding and that moving, I had my eye on him, but then he was little, and he got kind of behind some people, and pretty soon as the crowd dispersed, I lost him. Now, I knew we were in Yankee Stadium. We were in a confined place, but, you know, whenever you lose your kid, you get it, right, parents? It's just like, you go nuts. And I went nuts. Like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Oh, man, I get up on my chair so maybe I could see down and so he could maybe see me. I ran down there. He wasn't there. I ran up and down the baselines. He wasn't there. And it was only about 10 minutes or so, but that 10 minutes seemed like an eternity. In that instance, I could care less about a ball game. I could care less about autographs. I could care less about anything but finding my boy. There's an urgency. You know what? When you really want to seek something bad enough, that's the only thing that matters. You following me here? And sometimes with God, we just don't have the urgency that we want him bad enough. Paul said this in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. It says this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attaining the resurrection of the dead. To me, that's one of the most mind-boggling passages in the scripture. Paul said, I want to know Christ. I even want to suffer like he suffered because I want to know him that deeply. That just embarrasses my level of seeking. That humiliates my level of wanting God when I read that scripture. I want God. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want to be mocked. I don't want to be driven through with a spear. I don't want to be nailed to a cross. I'm perfectly content to let God have done that work, and I get to be free of it because of his work and to praise him for it. Paul said, I want to know him to the depths, even to sharing with his sufferings, knowing that as a result of that sharing, there is a phenomenal reward to even attain the resurrection of the dead. I want to know him through and through. We may accuse God at times of being far off. You ever felt that? You ever felt that God is away somewhere or he's just distant? And sometimes we accuse God. God, where were you when I needed you? You weren't there when I called. You didn't answer my prayer. You didn't respond to me fast enough. And it's in those times, at least when I get that way, that I realize it wasn't God's fault at all. It was me who wasn't seeking. That I put in my order at, you know, the God McDonald's and expected my God cheeseburger to come out in 35 seconds. And when it didn't come out, boy, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum with God. Seeking. Seeking deeply. Seeking even to the point of sharing in his sufferings. The point is this. What's your goal with God? Is your goal a better life? Oh, I'll accept Christ because I'll have a better life. I'll have joy. I'll have peace. I'll have just, it'll be, my marriage will be better. My work will be better. I'll be more healthy. I'll lose weight. I'll be more disciplined. I'll have all these better habits. Well, my life will be better. I'll accept Jesus. How backwards. Now, do so many of those benefits happen when you accept Christ? Sure, he's a loving father. When you follow his principles, he leads you in good ways. But if that becomes the primary reason for, again, that's a self-centered, really arrogant, selfish way. And when God doesn't do what you want, that person will be the first to abandon him. Because a better life, church, isn't the goal. God is the goal. God himself is the goal. Knowing him is the goal. Being with him is the goal. Number three in your outline. Salvation is just the beginning of your pursuit. Here's what Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the next verse after the ones I just read that Paul wrote. It says, I want a fellowship in the share of his suffering and even to attain the resurrection of the dead. Next verse. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So in other words, he said, I'm saved. I'm following Christ, but I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained all this. I haven't arrived. I'm not there, but I press on to take hold. Could your life be characterized as pressing on to take hold? Pressing on, the visual to me is a yearning. It's like almost like a tug of war. Now, you're not tugging against God, but you're tugging against your old life and your old distractions and your old, and like, I'm pressing on. I'm going to make it. I'm going to find him. I'm going to know him. I'm going to understand his mind. I'm going to be able to hear his voice. I'm going to understand his word more clearly. I press on to take hold. It's a daily work. It's a constant. Salvation is just the beginning, and we are so beginning oriented. How much time do we spend on accept Jesus, accept Jesus, accept Jesus? And that's phenomenal. But how many know it's step one? That's step one. We're in a lifetime marathon. But we spend so much time on step one. Let's get people to start the race. Okay, that's great. But we've got to now motivate and get us to keep seeking. Take the next steps. There's so much more. January 21st, 1982 was a very special evening. That's the evening that Sandra and I met. Yes. It's true. I heard you back there. That was perfect timing. And I didn't know anything about her when we met. All I knew was that smoking. That's all I knew. I mean, what else do you know? Okay, nice person. She's a helper at the youth group. Okay, that's a good sign. A servant here in the church, loves God. Okay, fine. But I knew nothing. Nothing about her. 36 years later, a little more than 36 years later, I know a little bit more than nothing. But I said to her the other day, and I meant it. I said, baby, you're like a combination lock. And every day you change the combination. Husbands, are you with me this morning? How many husbands are right here? Okay, praise God, I'm not alone. But that's kind of the joy and the challenge, isn't it? Is each new day figuring out this gift that God gave to you. And I think God did that on purpose because we'd get bored. She just gives you a new challenge every day. And so for 36 years I've been seeking. I know a lot more about her than I did then in 1982. But I don't know everything. But that's the joy of the journey. And as you know, you go deeper. And as you know, you go deeper. And as you know, you go deeper. That's the same with God. I've not yet attained it, but I'm pressing on. I want to know more. I want to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Salvation is just the beginning. Everything is made to center on that. And then once we do accept Christ, there's a lot of what you have to stop doing. Okay, now that you're a Christian, here's the list. Here's your list. Stop doing these things, and then we can move forward. How many have struggled with being a Christian and thought, oh man, if I do take that step, there's all kinds of things I can't do anymore. Right? And we kind of market it that way. Now, can I tell you that being a Christian is a lot less about what you don't do, and it's a lot more about what you do. Because you see, if we'll concentrate on the things to do, the Bible says that the things we shouldn't do will fall away. The thing is that we focus on what not to do. And then we never get to the things we should do, and then we remain weak. Here's what Scripture says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and there's a whole big section, 16 to 26, but it says this, if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the sinful nature. That's powerful, isn't it? What is that verse saying? Does it say, work really hard at not gratifying the sinful nature? No, it doesn't say that. It says, live by the Spirit. In other words, do the seeking, do the pursuing, follow hard after God. Try to get to know Him with all the different methods and tools and things that God has given us to know Him. When you focus on those things, you won't even bother with those things. But we get it reversed. And that, when we present it that way to a lost world, no wonder many of them don't want to come. Wait a minute, you mean when I come into this thing, I got to stop doing a bunch of stuff? Yep, that's the rules. That's what you got to do. No more fun for you. Frozen, chosen, sourpuss saints. That's who we are. Now, yes, there are some things we stop doing. I'm not saying it's a free-for-all. Yes, there are carnal, sinful, ugly things that we do that we stop. But what I'm trying to say is we focus too much on that side. When we focus on pursuing God, we're hungry after God's word. We're passionate in prayer. We're beginning to exercise the spiritual gifts that God has given us and walking in the fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing how much you will focus your attention there, and those other things will slowly, slowly, slowly just slip away. There's a beautiful song that I like. Old chorus, old hymn. It simply says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Some of you are already hearing it in your voice, in your head, aren't you? Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's a great, great chorus. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. He didn't start by saying, stop this, stop this, stop this, stop this, and then follow me. He said, follow me now and watch as you follow me. How the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of my glory and grace. Leonard Ravenhill wrote this in his great book, Why Revival Tarries. He said, a praying man will stop sinning and a sinning man will stop praying. It's not the word of God, but it's close. we focus and we're passionate and we're seeking. It's amazing how those other things float away. Number four in your outline, pursuing God is simple. Let's avoid the God and mentality. Sometimes we look at God and we say, God, I want you, and I want you and. We may not say those exact words, but the truth is when our attitude shows that. God, I want you, but my bank account is really low right now, and I'm getting a little frustrated with you, God. That equates to I want God and money or God and comfort. God, my job's not doing very well. When I came to you, I thought you were going to help me with my job and everything would be just fine. That equates to I want God and success. God, my family's kind of, you know, had some hard times. They're not healthy and struggling a little bit there. Now we know God answers prayer and God heals, but in the midst of that, some will get discouraged to walk away. That equates to I want God and family. Sometimes people have come into the body of Christ and they've fallen in love with this wonderful body, this group of people. They're so nice. They're so warm and friendly. And we hang out and it's so good. And then when something happens that's just not right, somebody disappoints you or there's a frustration, and you take off. Because that equates to, I want God and the church. Have we sometimes accepted Jesus when really in our mind what we're thinking is, I really want to be with these friends, because they provided me security and friendship and warmth and companionship, and I want that. And if I have to accept God in the meantime, okay, that's fine. I'll do that too. It's God alone. You come to Him alone without anything else, because everything else will deteriorate and disappoint. It always will. It's God alone. It's Him alone. Seeking Him alone. And then let that beautiful, wonderful, intimate relationship then just overshadow everything else. And watch how God will illuminate all of those other things. John chapter 17 verse 3 says this, now this is eternal life. When the scripture says, now this is eternal life, we ought to clue in, right? Okay, you got my attention. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's it. Not God and anything else. God. Seek Him. Eternal life. Finally, pursuing God is personal. Pursuing God is personal. God is personal. God is personal. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. In the Greek, that means He had no halo. Not really. But He's God with us. When Jesus appeared and revealed Himself and said, follow me, He had no halo. He didn't have this, oh, I know that's a little mermaid, give me a break. This thing that happened, they went, oh, following Him, yes I am. No, He was just a guy. And when they were following Him, and in the middle of the night when they were sleeping out campfire side, and they're aroused because of the snoring, and they looked over, and it was Jesus again. Jesus snored. And while He was sleeping there with His mouth open and jewels come out of His mouth, they look over and go, there's no halo, and that's Him? Drooling out of His mouth? He looked just like us. He's God. But He was God with us to show us the way, to set the example, and to be the perfect sacrifice. Son of God in flesh. He laughs. He cries. He has desires. He gets excited. He dances. He rejoices. He gets disappointed. How do I know that? Because we're that way. He made us in His image. Yet He is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present and so much bigger than us. If we're going to figure out how do we really pursue God, how do we get to know Him, the fact is this, that we must get personal with Him. So I want to ask you the question. You're going to actually do the conclusion for me today. When you're thinking of building a relationship with someone, what are the things you do to build that relationship? Okay, time. What else do you do? What's that? Talking. What else? Listen. Okay, that helps, doesn't it? What else? Okay, serve. What else? Okay. What else?
Persist.
What's that? Okay. Okay, I'll put kind up here by serve. Kind of related. Say again. Okay. All right. All right, running out of paper. But you kind of get it, don't you? This is what we do with people. When I use it back to the illustration of my wife, these things all came into play. Over 36 years, that's why I know her as well as I do, and that's why she knows me as well as she does, because we spend time together. We talk and listen to each other. We try to be kind, and we serve each other. We prioritize one another. We persist when things get a little bit different, and it happens, and you just keep going. Next day, next day, next day. We seek to understand each other, and on and on. Church, God is a person. It's simple. Let's keep it personal and simple. How do we do these things? Spend time with God. We pray. Talk and listen. We pray. Spend time. Become a part of his body. We worship him. Serving in kind. We engage in service. Sure. Back to talk and listen. Spend time. His word. He's speaking to us through his word. All the disciplines that we have. God's word. Prayer. Serving in the body of Christ. Loving each other. Jesus said, if you love others, you love me. The prioritizing of him. Is he first? Or are there other things that are first, other things more interesting, other things more priority? Do we persist? Sometimes your spiritual life gets dry, doesn't it? Come on, let's be honest. It does. So you persist. All relationships at times get dry because we're fallible. We seek to understand, what's he like? What's he thinking? We persist and we want to understand and on and on. Church, this is all seeking principles. And we already know them. That's why I wasn't too concerned about, because you already know this. It's just now applying what you already know to the God that you may or may not be seeking today. There's one last scripture. It reads this way. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Isn't that powerful? Those who know your name trust you. You have never forsaken those who seek you. I want a relationship with God. Not just a salvation only. Not just a thanks for the blessing, God. See you later. Not God and. We use the Christian easy buzzwords. A personal relationship. But it's true. We can know God. Do you want to know God today? You can. Pastor Sean, come. We're going to close. Church, this is next level stuff. Last week we dealt with repentance, and that was kind of back to step one. But what is our seeking like? I've been asking myself that question all week long. I find myself Even this week, knowing this message was coming, wrestling with other priorities, other urgencies, other things, and God whispering in my ear, really, you're just making your own sermon illustrations for next Sunday, aren't you? By avoiding seeking me. We seek hard after him. We seek hard when we're afraid. We seek hard when we're panicked that we lost something. We seek hard when we really, really, really want something. as the deer pants for the water. Those who seek him will find him when they seek him with all of his heart. Those who seek him will never be forsaken. Church, God pursued you first. And we respond in repentance and confession. And that's a repetitive process. But now the relationship work starts. And that's to seek him. To know him. Not just know of him. Not just know a name. But to know him. That's our desire today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, for a sweeping sense of beautiful conviction over our group today. Father, that you would move each one of us with a conviction of, I need to seek God. I need to know him. I want to know him. The creator of the universe. The one who saved my soul, the one who died on the cross, I want to know him, and I can. God, thank you for calling us to know you. But Lord, forgive us when we have heard that call and we have just gotten so distracted. Our minds have been turned to other things. I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. And so gracious and merciful that even when we've been prodigal, you welcome us back. Father, I pray today that each one of us this morning would take a different new step, a new step deeper, a new step toward hungering for you daily in our scriptures, a new step daily in communicating with you in prayer, a new step in exercising service to please you and to know you more, a new step in understanding you, a new step, God, in our thinking, a new step in our prioritization. God, I pray in Jesus' name, draw us closer, Lord. Draw us closer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed remaining. If there's those this morning that have not yet even taken that first step, we're not talking about salvation necessarily. We're talking about the journey. But that journey starts with the first step. And that's what we call salvation, or getting saved, or being born again. If you've not yet experienced that or taken that first step to follow God, but today you want to make that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me guarantee you, the scripture is true, that when you follow him, you will not be forsaken. You will not be disappointed. So let's start the journey. Let's start it today. If you'd like to make that first step, not for anybody else's notice, but just for mine so I can pray for you. Today is your day. Would you just slip up a hand, put it right back down? And I'll know and we'll be able to help you. This is a family here. We want to help each other. Anybody this morning want to take that first step? Acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. Knowing that it's not about a whole bunch of don'ts, but it's a whole lot more about a wonderful, beautiful relationship with your Creator. I'll wait just a moment longer. All right, I turn to the rest of us, those that have already made decisions to follow Christ. Is today a conviction Sunday for you? Knowing that you need to seek harder, seek deeper, seek more diligent. Other things may have gotten priority. That instead of turning your eyes upon Jesus and looking full into his wonderful face, your eyes have been turned to the things of this world. Or even just the good things. Turn toward life and jobs and family. And it's all good things, but it's not Jesus. That's you this morning. You need to refocus. Would you slip up your hand? Today's a refocus day, a seeking harder day, a going deeper day. Yeah, thank you. All over, all over, all over. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because of the magnitude of hands. And I anticipated that. You can put them down. I anticipated that because I know me too. And we're all alike. And we can all go further. We can all go deeper. No matter what stage we're in. Maybe you're brand new, taking baby steps. Maybe you're a veteran of decades. We all can go deeper because God is limitless. He's infinite. And the more we think we know, the more we realize we don't know. So we can all go deeper. So with that in mind, let's all stand to our feet in a statement of collective yearning, a statement of collective desire, recognizing that we need Jesus. And can I just lead us in a prayer? And I know the words are mine now, but it's all of us. And let's just pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you more than anything else. God, I pray that you would help me to set aside all of the things and that you will be my lone focus. That your face will be my only desire. That God, I pray for a hunger for your holy word. I pray for an eager desire to seek you in prayer daily. I pray, Lord, for a passion to serve people, knowing that when I serve them, I'm serving you. In Jesus' name, forgive me when I get distracted, or when I get resistant, or when I just absolutely rebel. And God, draw me back. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for you to fill me with your Spirit, that today will be a new day. A new day of focus and a new day of walking closely with you. I want you, Jesus, and I want you every day. In your precious, holy, matchless name, amen. 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 Let's praise him together. Sing something up. Sing something up. Praise his name. Let's finish today up. We can celebrate, amen. Let's do that. Let's finish up with a sense of, okay, we're refocused. We're renewed. We got a new kind of, okay, we've readjusted, recalibrated. We may have gotten off track, but Waze has said, recalibrating. And now we're back on track again. We know which way to go. Let's rejoice that we're back on track. Amen? And let's follow through with that. As we rejoice, the prayer partners will come up to the front as we do usually. You guys are clapping already. I'm trying to finish my announcements. I had my opening right there. I know some of you need physical healing. Don't leave the building still suffering. Let's pray. If you miss a chance to pray, you miss a chance for God's miracle touch. Let's pray. You need a job? Let's pray. You need healing in a relationship? Let's pray. You're confused about something? Seek God. He's got the answers. That's what these prayer partners are here for. So folks, let's not be shy, or let's not be just like ignoring the opportunity to find God together, all right? So let's rejoice together. Prayer partners will come. Let's pray and seek God some more and go in his grace.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.